question of whose advice to follow and what other people's opinions mean in life boils down to understanding that other people's opinions are just that. And that's very important. Another person's opinion is not truth. At least it's not your truth. It's not necessarily reality. It's not necessarily the best. It's not necessarily anything. It is somebody else's opinion. Opinions are of very little value. It's only your commitments. It's what you do with your opinions that makes all the difference in the world, not what your opinion is about something. And so what I have learned to do with other people's opinions is, first of all, to see them as their opinions, which means that they can't hurt me, they can't destroy me, they can't make me into anything less than I am as a human being. They simply are other people's opinions. Now, I've established for myself that my reputation is a meaningless concept. Everybody's reputation is a meaningless concept. Because if you go out, whoever you are, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, or all of those things, and you go out into the world and you do something, let's say I go out in front of 1,000 people and I speak, there are 1,000 opinions that are all unique and different from each other, and I don't know what any of them are. And that's what constitutes my reputation. My reputation is located in other people's opinions. That's what a reputation is. So I don't care about my reputation. I'm not interested in it at all because I have no control over it, none whatsoever. What other people think of me is where they are. Whatever I do, however, whatever level I'm doing, if I'm in Carnegie Hall or if I'm just with a friend of mine in a business, what other people think of me is just that. Terry Cole Whitaker wrote a book called, a great title, one of the greatest titles of any book I've ever heard. Her title of her book was, "What You Think of Me is None of My Business." It's none of my business. So my reputation, since it's located in other people exclusively, is something that I have no control over. I mean, I go out and give a talk. I've given talks many times. I've been on The Tonight Show many times, and I will get letters, and I will be telling a joke. And it will be just a joke. It'll be just a funny little remark. And I will get 50 letters. And one of the letters will say, "That was a funny joke. That was really terrific. You were sensational." All right, so you got to put that. That's an imposter. You have to put that imposter over here. And somebody else says, "How dare you make a joke like that? That's not a funny thing to say at all." That's another imposter. You put that over here. And someone else will say, "I didn't think what you said was appropriate. It was in bad taste." And you put that one over there. And you understand that all of those things are your reputation. And they're all different. And they're, none of them have anything to do with me. I was telling a joke. I don't know where you are. So I've learned not to be concerned with my reputation, but instead to be concerned with my character. And that I'm in charge of. All right? I'm always in charge of that. I can never be in charge of how other people are going to perceive me, because that's their opinion. And they're all entitled to it. I mean, on the very same day, about a month ago, I got 2 letters on pulling your own strings. And one of the letters said that it was the greatest book that he had ever written. It had changed his life completely, and he had given me all of this credit for the transformation that had taken place in his life as a result of reading Pulling Your Own Strings, which I had written many, many years before. The very same day, in the same mail, was a letter from somebody who told me that he wanted a refund. He said, "It's so bad that I insist that you or your publisher send me back the refund for the book." All right? And what I did with the letters is I sent the real nice one to the guy who had written me the bad one, and I sent the bad one, I just had him Xerox, and sent it to the guy who had written the good one and said, "These are both imposters." And I wrote the great line that H.L. Mencken always used to write to anybody who wrote him letters. He always just said, "You may be right." Not, "I am right, I'm right and you're wrong," or whatever. "You may be right," and I just signed my name and sent them off to them. I mean, it just shows you how silly it is to go around being consumed by what other people think. What other people think is just that. Now, supposing you take somebody else's advice and you mess up, all right, and it doesn't work for you. The no-limit person is someone who understands that everything you do in life You did because you were supposed to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it. And the evidence is that you did it. All right. So the evidence for that you're supposed to do things is that you did it. You can't not do it. You can't should have done anything, or if only. If only doesn't exist. So you did it. Now you have a couple of choices to make about taking somebody else's advice. First of all, you understand that it wasn't their advice. If I have a stockbroker and he gives me advice to buy this stock and it goes down, it wasn't his advice that made me buy the stock. It was my own advice. It was I took his opinion and I internalized it and I said to myself, I would like to make some fast money on buying this stock and I would like the stock to go up, and he says that it will, but I'm believing it. I'm buying it. It's mine. And I am then saying I will buy it. I can't blame him if the stock goes down. I can say to myself, all right, I'm going to get a different stockbroker, but I take responsibility for the losses that I've encountered. Now, you treat the loss as an opportunity. I mean, everything that happens to you that is considered negative or that is considered a failure or a loss is a hidden opportunity. And the seeds for all solutions to all problems are in the problem itself. The cure is in the illness. The cure is always in the illness. Otherwise, you don't need a cure. If there's no illness, do you need a cure? Of course not. I mean, there's no sickness there. So that a cold has within it the opportunity to transcend a cold. Being an alcoholic has within the alcoholism the seeds for transcending something about yourself that was controlling you before. So that reformed alcoholics, the first thing they do is they celebrate their alcoholism. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It made me face something in myself. You ought to be the most grateful to the people that you feel are causing you the most upset in your life, because they're the ones who force you to face yourself. And it isn't what you face that controls your life. What you face in life, you just move on and deal with it, and you're in charge of it. It's what you don't face that controls your life. The overweight person who just simply ignores and won't face my compulsive eating, the alcoholic who won't face the fact that I'm drinking too much and I'm in control, the people in a relationship who won't face the trauma between them. You see, if you can't say no within a relationship, you'll have to say no to the relationship eventually. By saying no within the relationship, any relationship, what I mean is that you have to let other people know, including the people that love you the most, your parents, your children, your husband, your wife, your affiliates, your business people, your friends, you have to let them know that you have to be your own person. And that when they want you to be something that you can't be because it conflicts with where you are on the path, and your own path of enlightenment, of fulfillment, of no-limit living, that you have to say no to that. And that will strengthen the relationship. You will let somebody know, these are the limits. This, no, I can't be that. I can't be your little victim. I can't just be your little servant. No, I can't be the kind of person that you can tell me when I have to be here or what I have to think or what time I have to be there. No, in other words, you're saying no, the N-word, okay? It's a big word to be able to say. And you can do that with love and dignity and respect, but firmness. But mean it, all right, with commitment. Not with your opinion is controlling me, but with this commitment that, no, I have to say no to these things that you want of me because I can't be what you think I should be. Then you'll never have to say no to the relationship because it will flourish and grow. It's only what you don't face. It's only the things that you just continue to ignore and you hope will go away that are really controlling your life in a negative way. So it's just like you reverse all of that. You begin to stand up to the people that you love the most and also the people that don't even know you, the strangers. The same thing applies in just a simple little exchange of a bank teller or a sales clerk or whatever. If you can say no within that relationship, no, I won't be treated this way, but I think you're terrific. You're having a great, you know, but I won't be talked to this way or I'm going to get my refund or whatever it is that you can say no within, then you don't have to say no to the relationship. You don't have to just walk away in a huff and get mad and lose, but you have to be able to do it with an inner conviction, with the love that you are. Not with love, but with the love that you are. You have gotten yourself to the point that you understand that what's inside of you is a result of what you think. You have unclogged yourself of negativity, and processing your world in those ways, so that when you encounter a situation in which people are having a different opinion than you, that what you do with that is you respond with what you have inside. And when you respond with what you have inside, it's firm, it's no, but it's always love. And then you don't have to blame anybody for anything that happens in your life.